Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Thanks for tuning in to my inaugural address on Facebook.
LBJ.
I've been touched by the outpouring of interest. I am pleased to report that Laura and I are happy, healthy, and home here in the great state of Texas, or as I call it, the Promised Land. Serving as president was the honor of a lifetime, and I will always be grateful for the opportunity to represent the nation I love. Retirement isn't so bad either.
Can we be sweethearts?
He sounded like LBJ. I couldn't place the voice for a minute. Maybe he can come back? You know, in retrospect, he wasn't so bad. He only left us with $1 trillion worth of scams compared to this one, the party boy. Now, here's a story that I'm not going to make this up. I want you to listen to this because you're not going to believe what you're about to hear. NAACP urges Hallmark to pull racist card from shelves. What you're about to hear is a combination of blatant idiocy and racial paranoia on the part of the NAACP spokesman. You're not going to believe what I'm about to read to you. A space-themed Hallmark grad card is being pulled from store shelves because of the card's reference to a black hole. Members of the Los Angeles NAACP said it sounds like black whore. That's how they're hearing the card's audio component. They say it's racist. They say it's demeaning to African-American women to use the word black hole. And they said it's a reference to African-American women as whores. And so the Hallmark says the outrage is a misunderstanding, claiming that the space theme emphasizes the power the graduate has to take over the universe, even energy-absorbing black holes. The intent here is to say that this graduate is not afraid of anything, explained Hallmark spokesman Steve Doyle. So what you're hearing is a combination of stupidity, idiocy, moronic, uneducated dolts, and racial paranoia combined, tied into a pressure group that is way beyond its pay scale. I guess they didn't get up to the fifth grade in science where they know that there's actually a black hole in space. I don't know where this is going to lead to. Maybe soon the NAACP will object to the following. Maybe the White House will have to be changed to the Rainbow House. Maybe the color of snow by decree will have to be made into some other color because it'd be offensive to minorities who are not white. Maybe the color of clouds in all paintings and drawings will have to be recolored in all art around the world in order not to offend people of color. And then perhaps the secretarial item known as whiteout will be banned in government offices because it may make people of color queasy. NAACP urges Hallmark to pull racist card from shelves because it says black hole, and they thought it said black whore. I mean, it's beyond comprehension how far this nation has fallen into the gutter. You talk about the lowest common denominator pulling a nation down. I've never seen anything like it. Never. I've never seen any. It's getting lower and lower and lower, starting with the party boy in the White House. The party boy, one after the other. One after the other, Major League Soccer, the reception at the Ford's Theater, congressional picnics, water gun fights. Hey, by the way, you know, the Gulf disaster, we know it's the worst environmental disaster in American history. Can anyone tell me where FEMA is, Federal Emergency Management Administration? They're set up specifically to deal with such environmental disasters. How come the schmuck who runs it hasn't been thrown into prison? And the agency closed down. If ever there was an argument to close down FEMA, it's now. What the hell are they used for? Now, wait a minute. There's a better one coming. Do you remember a few months ago we were shocked to hear when Janet, Big Chin Janet Napolitano, Big Sis, shocked the world when she said that the Department of Homeland Security is not going to worry about terrorism anymore, that the biggest threat to the future of America are environmental disasters. Remember that? She's on record having said that, right? So now we have the largest environmental disaster in history, and Big Sis is nowhere to be seen. She's playing night pool somewhere. Where is she? Why don't they close down both the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA or replace the heads of both agencies? What the hell do you need an agency that's useless for? Unless, of course, they're just reading the emails of talk show hosts. I don't really know. Who do you think makes the best female role model amongst the following? Helen Thomas, who is loved by Hezbollah, or the 16-year-old sailor Abby Sunderland, who was found alive, by the way. Her sailboat got knocked over by a wave, her mast broke, and the girl survived. But the left hates her. The left hates her parents. They'd rather they see her having sex with her a sorority sister, or using crack, or being a single mom so she'd be useful for the socialist agenda. Hey, did you hear about that missing child in Oregon, by the way? There's something odd about that whole case. I heard them crying up there. The father, there's too many different family members. I mean, stepfather, stepmother, mother, step. Whenever I see that kind of extended family who won't answer questions already, stepfather and father of missing Oregon boy, Kyron Harmon. I mean, I hope the boy is found, but I want to know, I have a question for you. Do you think there's something strange about the case of the missing boy in Oregon? I don't understand this. Why won't they answer questions? Why are they giving press conferences? Can someone answer this to me? Is it appropriate for a man to cry and hug another man in public about a missing child? I don't know about you, but if my child at that age had been missing, I wouldn't have got up crying. I wouldn't have got up crying on television. I would have made a promise to whoever did it. I would have made a promise that if I have to go to jail, I'll find you and rip your testicles out. And if I can't do that, I'll make sure you go to jail. And if I have to spend every dime I have, I'll make them tear you to pieces in the prison yard. How's that? That would have been appropriate for the father, not crying with his boyfriend there. What a country of schmucks, I said to myself as I ate my Chinese food and spat it out watching television. I don't know what country I'm in. I've never seen such weakness in my life. Wherever you turn, stupidity and weakness. But I guess you don't see it that way. I guess you think it's appropriate for a man to get up and cry on television. Possible upcoming celebrations for the party boy president. Well, we have some suggestions for the White House since the man is given towards partying constantly. I think he should suggest a picnic and goat roasting ceremony on the White House lawn with the Saudi ambassador to show diversity. Or he could have a luau in Honolulu with the Hawaiian State Secretary of Vital Records. Or, if he's looking for another themed party, he could have a bar mitzvah for Barney Frank's intern. Or he could have a poker and beer summit with Elena Kagan. Or perhaps he could invite Roman Polanski in to have a little fondue with him and Michelle. Perhaps he could have a baklava bash with the Iranian ambassador. Or if that doesn't work, perhaps Obama can have a 4th of July picnic in Beijing to celebrate the new alliance between China and America. That's it. That's the opening. It's time for you to talk. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Look, I threw out five different ideas. There's more. There's plenty of more here. Tina Brown on the... Oh, you know, the women won, all Republican women, and the left-wing fanatics, like Tina Brown, whoever she is, I don't know who she is, I think she's a left-winger, says that the wins by GOP women is a blow to feminism. Listen to clip six. Listen to this lunacy.
Women are usually seen as, you know, an alternative because many more men are in there. But actually, the only trouble with this one is it almost feels as if all these women winning are kind of a blow to feminism because each one of them, really, most of them, are, you know, very much, you know, against so many of the things that women have fought for such a long time.
Do you hear this? First of all, I don't trust anyone with a fake British accent. I don't like anyone with a real British accent after what they did to me to start with. But anyone with a fake British accent is suspect in my book. That's to start with. Who is this? Oh, I have a word for her I can't use on the radio. I'm not in a bar. Who is this cretin, Tina Brown, that she says that the women who won the primaries, like Meg Whitman, who built her fortune on her own, by the way, is a blow for feminism? Why? Because she's not a radical feminist like you? A radical whack job like you? Are you crazy? Tina Brown. Watch out for anyone with a voice that sounds like a fake limey voice. How could she say a thing like that and get away with it? Who are these cultural idiots? These are cultural. Well, I have a word for it. Again, I can't use it. What else do we have? The spill again? Arlington Cemetery officials reprimanded for improper administration of remains and grave sites. Did you hear about that scandal? Those are Obama's Goombas he put in there. He took a few more Goombas from the streets of Chicago and put them in there. They know about as much about managing Arlington National Cemetery as I do. And it turns out that they put one burial on top of the other. They don't know where the graves are. They listed some graves as empty that were full. They had unmarked grave sites marked. Listen to clip 16.
The loss of accountability of remains. Remains and graves listed as empty. Unmarked grave sites. Improperly marked graves and improper handling of cremated remains.
Uh-huh. Listen to 18.
And that's very upsetting, of course, to anyone to have that found. But, things like that do happen, unfortunately. And this is an active burial area. Someone didn't follow the instructions.
Here's the putz put in by Obama, John Metzer, Arlington Cemetery superintendent, probably a college boy from Yale or a college boy with a beanie from Harvard, who never managed a hot dog stand, but he got a master's degree at Harvard, so they put him in charge of Arlington. A guy who never fired a Daisy BB gun, a guy who would scream if someone fired if a backfire occurred behind, they put him in charge of Arlington National Cemetery. It gets crazier by the second. Look, I could say Obama's the most inept president in history and could say it's the most corrupt administration in history, and you'd agree with me. Therefore, we're going to play rock and roll on Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Play it now, Ray, a little rock and roll.
Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. I'll make love to you.
The word black holes are never to be used again because the NAACP finds it offensive. You have to strike it from the lexicon of science, the idea of black holes. In fact, if you investigated all the physicists who originally discovered black holes, you'll find out that they're probably members of the Ku Klux Klan. I'm starting to think about it. I will bet you that most of the physicists, if you investigated the origin of the word black hole, the NAACP may be right. I mean, I could be wrong. It may not be stupidity and racial paranoia on their part. I would suspect that if we were to do a thorough, I think the government should have a congressional hearing on which physicists discovered black holes and named them black holes, and you'll probably find out that they're all Jewish members of the Ku Klux Klan. I'll be right back. Sarcasm is the only way to live, I'll tell you the truth. In a world of Obama and a world of dolts, see the rising to the top of the idiots, wherever you look, in the government, morons with immense power that could bury you if they want. And they're working on it, don't kid yourself. All mini Chavezes. Thomas Hobbes said life is poor, nasty, brutish, and short. In that way, I'm a student of Thomas Hobbes. Life is that's more or less my philosophy. I didn't know he existed, really. Thomas Hobbes wrote, life is poor, nasty, brutish, and short. In a way, my father was the same way. He didn't read Thomas Hobbes. He was an uneducated man, but he believed that. He tried to tell it to me in his own way, which is shut up and listen to me, or you'll get run over. Or shut up and listen to me, or someone will, shoot you. Or shut up and listen to me, or you'll be beaten to death. Or shut up and listen to me, or they'll rob you. Or shut up and listen to me, or they'll rip off your old lady. Or shut up and listen to me, whatever. I mean, he was right. He was trying to say, life is poor, nasty, brutish, and short. That's what my father taught me. Every father should teach their son that. Instead of hanging a mobile over your son's crib and telling him life is wonderful and everyone's good. I'm okay, you're okay. Sure, I'm okay, you're okay. Take him by the hand and walk him through the worst streets in the city. See how okay the other guy is. Now, I just got an email from the physicist Jack Sarfati, who coined the phrase black hole. And the reason we are talking about this extremely sensitive issue is because Hallmark Cards had to pull a card that referenced black holes because the NAACP said it was racist to black women. apparently they didn't get to the fifth grade in science and understand there's actually a phenomenon called a black hole. And this is an example of the kind of genius we have now raging through the land. And Dr. Sarfati says the word black hole was coined by WASP scientist John Archibald Wheeler, Princeton professor, co-discoverer of nuclear fission. And so that answers the question. He was not a member of the Ku Klux Klan. But, of course, look, they could reinvestigate John Archibald Wheeler. They may find, you know, if there's a House subcommittee run by one of the congressmen, maybe Bonnie Frank could investigate this instead of the money that's been stolen under the TARP money and the stimulus money. Maybe they could have a congressional committee on John Archibald Wheeler, who discovered the word black hole, and see if he was not a member of the Ku Klux Klan on the side. You know, maybe he wore a sheet. Unbelievable to me, the world I'm living. But if you don't laugh at it, you're finished. It's not living well is the best revenge. You know, I don't believe that's true. I say laughing well is the best revenge. Laugh in their face. Laughing well is the best revenge. Believe me, make a mockery of them. It's all we have left. Just mock them. Who the hell are they? Mock them. Mock them. Make jokes about Bonnie Frank as often as possible. Make jokes about Elena Kagan as often as possible. Make jokes about Janet Napolitano as frequently as you possibly can. Make jokes about Obama as often as you can. What the hell are you sitting there like a dunce for? Yeah, so Bush is back, huh? I almost missed him, but then when I heard his voice, I didn't know what it was. It was like he was throwing his voice. Play clip two of Bush. He's back.
The day after I left office, I started writing my book, which will hit the shelves on November the 9th.
Hit the shelves?
Along with former President Bill Clinton. I'm raising money for earthquake relief in Haiti. And I'm working on my
presidential... Wait a minute, hold it. Wait a minute. President Bush, excuse me? We've just had the greatest environmental disaster in American history, and you're still raising money for Haiti? Can't someone upgrade the guy's speech? Can't him and Bill Clinton raise money for the people in the Gulf of Mexico instead of the people in Haiti? I mean, I would say charity begins at home, President Bush. Where would you think we should raise money for, Haiti or the Gulf of Mexico, where the people are going to starve to death because their livelihood is gone? Unbelievable to me.
Savage.
Hey, la ding dong, a lang a lang a lang, boom ba lo, ba do ba do ba ba.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream.
So never use the word black hole again. Never refer to the physical entity or phenomenon known as a black hole, or the Obama administration may hunt you down and try you for some kind of racial thought. Now, although it is theoretically a scientific phrase, an entity, the black hole, some find it so offensive that you should be hunted down by the new Obama administration. In fact, I think that the Department of Homeland Security, which is inept with regard to homeland and security, could be turned into the Department of Racial Security. And, you know, really think about it. It's in place. It's got a perfect leader for a Department of Racial Security. And since there's no war on terror, there's no Islamic fascism, I think Janet Napolitano should consider a revamping of her department into the Department of Racial Security, and that anyone who utters a phrase that is offensive to anyone, that is anyone of color, should be investigated with all the powers of the Department of Racial Security. San Francisco 860 on the dial. Norman, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, I just wanted to... say that, you know, I think the things that we're seeing in our society right now with all the problems going on are, I have to say honestly, directly related to the 8 years of the Bush administration.
I think you're right. Everything was caused by Bush. Him and Cheney engineered the Gulf disaster. And I personally think that he kept Obama from going out there for 12 days because I think that they have power over Obama, don't you?
Well, I do appreciate you going out there. I mean, if you do go out there to...
No, I didn't say I said that Bush probably kept Obama from showing up for 12 days. Because, as you know, Obama's just a puppet of Bush, right?
No, I'm not saying that either.
You said Bush caused all of our problems. That would include Obama's inactivity with regard to the Gulf oil disaster, correct?
We're still seeing the hemorrhaging. We haven't even stopped the bleeding from what he did.
So, in other words, Bush left us a $1 trillion deficit, and Pelosi and company and Obama have given us a $4 trillion budget blowout in a year and a half, and you say that's Bush's fault?
No, Bush tried to
Well, you just said it's Bush's fault. Bush gave us a $1 trillion deficit. So Obama's solution is to create a $4 trillion deficit. So how can you blame Bush for that?
Bush started to started in the bailout. He started with, I think it was AIG, but...
I said it was a $1 trillion hole he left us. So the solution is a $4 trillion hole?
Well, if we didn't keep going and stop...
Oh, I get your philosophy, how it works. I see how your philosophy works. So your philosophy is so set up that whatever happens, it's all Bush's fault.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, you just said that. You said all the problems that we face are Bush's fault.
We couldn't let the banks fail. He started the bailout to try and keep us from out of the
So in other words, when Obama did not use dispersant chemicals to break up the oil in the Gulf, that was because Dick Cheney said don't use dispersant chemicals?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Michael.
And when Obama failed to mobilize the U.S. Navy or any boats to deploy booms and containment devices, that was because of Bush, correct?
No, Cheney, during...
And when Obama rejected Japan, France, China, and Russia's help, even though these nations have deep-sea submarines and robots that could have gone a mile under the ocean, that was because Bush said don't use them?
Michael, you've asked me five questions in a row.
Well, because you're not answering any of them. You're reporting on gibberish in your brain. You're a San Franciscan who obviously is so biased you can't even have a discussion. So I may as well resort to my methodology, which is giving you facts and hitting you with them, hitting you over the head with the facts. Have a nice day. I'm not going to waste my time. I've given you three things, four things, five things, six things that Obama did not do because he's dangerously inexperienced, disconnected, detached. Blame it on Bush. Where is FEMA? Michael Savage asked on Friday, June 11th, 2010, where is the federal, I think it's FEMA, Federal Emergency Manpower Administration, whatever it is, management, where is FEMA? Do you remember how FEMA was criticized during Katrina and they wanted the head of it fired under Bush? Where is FEMA right now? Where's the head of FEMA? And where is the head of Homeland Security? Where is she hiding? Janet Napolitano, 3 months ago, said that there is no terrorism, there is no war on terror, there is no Islamic fascism, Muslims are not our enemy, and she said that she's not going to be looking for terrorists, but that the challenge in the future for the Department of Homeland Security would be environmental disasters. So now she has an environmental disaster for the last 7 weeks, and she's been no one knows where she is. She's playing pool somewhere in Uruguay, probably, with Janet Reno. Where is she? How could these administrations be functioning with such people running them? How is that possible? Play rock and roll. I'm not going to burn myself up over this. I want any rock and roll.
They call me the Wanderer. Yeah. Yeah, the Wanderer. I roam around.
Never a big fan of this one. Knock it off. I don't like it. It's a little too wishy-washy. You got something more like with a car, or, crew cut, haircut, drag racing. Something like... Oh, these are the guys I went to high school with, right? Speedo, by who? No, I didn't go to high school with them. I wasn't in Mississippi. High school in Queens, not Mississippi. I'll turn it off. Although I like it, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear something from the group from the Jamaica High School. What was the name of that group? The Cleftones. Oh, that was good. 55 Chevys were in vogue at that time. This was good music to me. I don't know. Today, who listens to it? It was all about, you think about the music. It was about romance and love, worshiping women. Heart-pounding love for women. Look what it's become now. Look what Bush did to our lyrics. We may as well blame Bush for the denigration of our language, too, and our music. Look what Bush did to rock and roll. Stop it. No, we could blame Bush for that, too. We could blame Bush for rap music, for the degeneracy of rap music. We could blame George Bush and Dick Cheney, where they glorify beating up women, killing cops. Blame it on Bush and Cheney. Why not? If you're a liberal. See, when you're a liberal, there's no need to make sense with anything. You just make a statement. And the statement, if it feels good, it means it's sound. So women win every election Every major election in the primaries, it should be women celebrating and setting off fireworks. Instead, somebody with a fake limey accent named Tina Brown says it's a blow to feminism. You hear this? Now, I could switch the words around, but I don't want to do it. It's a family show. I won't do that. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. See, there's no good callers out there. They're all saying what I said. I can't handle it. What am I going to take a call now just for a breather? I've given you some good ideas. All right, we did already the NAACP. Boom, next case. That's all, next case. Here we go. You know what I had for dinner last night? I'm under the weather. You know, interested in my dinner? Would you rather hear my dinner instead of the news? Why won't Bill Clinton go away? Why is he in the news every day? Why must I see him laughing in Colombia now in the news? Why are Hillary and Bill in South America? Does anyone know the answer to that question? They met up in Bogota, Colombia? I'm sorry, there's something wrong with that picture. Joe Biden's in Africa watching a sporting event. Hillary Clinton's in Bogota Learning Center. And we have the worst environmental disaster in history. And Obama has what's he doing this weekend? Do we have the calendar yet? Is he doing the bar mitzvah for Bonnie Frank's intern or a picnic and goat roasting on the White House lawn with the Saudi ambassador? Which one is it this Saturday, Beowulf? Do we know? We don't know. We haven't been able to. Or is he flying to do a fondue with Roman Polanski in Switzerland? Step five. I'm not going to play with that one. That's too risky. Let's see what else. Chris Vito's. I don't want to hear about Chris. He's finished. Oh, yeah. Look, they released more pages on Kagan. You know Kagan, right? The one that they want to stick onto the Supreme Court. She's as qualified to be a Supreme Court justice, Kagan is, as Obama is to be president, to give you some idea. That work for you? In other words, if you think Obama was qualified to be president, given what he has not done since he's been made president, and given what he's done to this country since he's been made president, then Kagan is the equivalent on the Supreme Court. That's the one they gave pearls, makeup, and lipstick to 2 weeks ago to sell it to the people in the Midwest. To make her look like just sort of like a heavyset, like spinster. Well, she's a fine woman. She just never met the right man. She's a fine woman. Always liked that volleyball. That's true. But she's just a fine woman. Just never can meet the right man. Yeah, she shows up at all the cake sales. So they released more paper. They released more papers on Kagan today. Friday afternoon when you're asleep. No one. You know, it's like 50 people listening to my show today. Third largest show in America, normally 10 million people a week. There's no one's around on Friday afternoon. You ever see, it's like a banana republic. I've never seen anything like this. What a bunch of schmucks in the media, they put up with this. Kagan's views on religious freedom revealed. Oh, I don't even want to read it to you. Your heart will break. What do I have to tell you? She was against religion, and she was against people wearing crosses in the workplace. Would you be shocked? And would I tell you about another case that she handled? The government required a landlord to rent an apartment to an unwed couple, which violated the landlord's Christian religious beliefs. Take a guess which side Kagan was on. Do I have to even spell it out for you and eat my heart out? I'd rather talk about the trick of a tiny belly. Every website I go on, I can't take it with that ad anymore. What do you mean trick of a tiny belly? I don't want a tiny belly. I want a big belly. It's the mark of a man. Well, what's with the tiny? What's this obsession? The smaller the soul, the tinier the belly. The smaller the heart, the tinier the belly. But you can't have a little gut on you. Look like a man. What are you, afraid of looking like a man? A guy can't have a little blubber on his gut. When did that become, like, not manly? You know, it's very unmanly for a man to look at himself in the mirror day and night with the lats and the pecs and the stomach and stupid. Would your father have done that? True, he died at 47, but would he have done it? That's the point. Oh, God, I'm just pulling your ear. I'm afraid to go on the news right now. It's getting so bad. Every second, dead crabs now in the Gulf now. No, it's heartbreaking. I'm an environmentalist in a way. I mean, I'm a conservationist, more so than Barbara Boxer, I can guarantee you. I guarantee I've hiked more mountains and trekked more jungles and, you know, piloted more bays than Obama, I can guarantee you. What's with this Hugo Chavez? He's like the Mussolini of our time, a buffoon. And why is Hollywood in love with the buffoon, the dictator buffoon? Why would Oliver Stone and Sean Pensky be in love with Chavez and say he's not a dictator? Go ask the people who fled his country if he's a dictator. Go ask about the bank accounts he seized. All he's got to do is seize you. All that have to happen is that Sean Penn's bank account be seized. We'll see if he still loves Hugo Chavez. In fact, I think Sean Penn should put his money into a bank in Hugo Chavez's country. And so should Oliver Stone. I think they should move there and make movies for Mussolini. Mussolini of South America. What a buffoon this guy is. What else is in the news? Oh, the South African Games. Ho-hum. Are you interested in that? I could so not be interested in the World Cup. Why do you care about a thing like that? Why is that of any value or interest to you? It's incredible how people waste their time on this. Obama administration to back a UN investigation of Israel next week. That's right. The Obama administration is going to investigate Israel, and they're siding with the Arabs against Israel. Well, I'm sure most of you agree with that. Most of you leftists wanted that to happen, including, shall I say, people of the cloth. Descendants of the people of the cloth. Descendants of the people of the cloth, known as Hebrews in former generations, gave birth to children who became communist liberals who hate Israel and side with the people who would cut their throat and throw them down a well. Crazy. You have to have some strength to be me. Vander Slut, charged with first-degree murder. The guy looks like a Neanderthal. Do you see the head on him? Wow, it's going to be very bad for Holland, this guy. He is like the face of Holland, Vander Slut. You know, it's sad because the Dutch had a hero in that guy who took down the Christmas tree bomber. Only I can put two and two together. Remember? The bomber that our government failed to detect. The man who got an airplane with a first-class ticket, no luggage, paid cash, was on a no-fly list. You know, the one that slipped through the fingers of our Dick Tracy's in the Homeland Security and FBI? The guy who tried to set his crotch on fire? Remember the Flying Dutchman gave a fling at him and ripped the torch out from between his legs, put the fire out? Now, that guy could have been the face of Holland, but he disappeared because he was probably afraid of the Islamo-fascists in Holland. And since his government, you know, wouldn't protect him, I understand why he didn't want to be known. But that was he was the face of Holland. Now Holland has like a Neanderthal for the face of Holland. I always liked Dutch because there was the Dutch resistance. They protected Jews during the war. They weren't really Nazis. There were only a few of them, not too many. You know, Diary of Anne Frank. They were good people, very noble people. Now you got Vander Slut, like a throwback. This guy is some piece of work. What a forehead on him. My God. If ever there was like a poster boy for Neanderthal white man, it's Vander Slut. I'll be back.
Savage.
Talk about Neanderthals. We're going to now talk about Nancy Pelosi. Mike Pence slams Pelosi, calling her the least Democratic speaker in U.S. history. Talk about the year of the woman. In an exclusive interview with Human Events, Pence excoriated Pelosi as the least Democratic speaker in the history of the House of Representatives, arguing that she's blocked a free and open debate in Congress. But what you don't understand is that she's doing exactly what she learned. She's doing exactly what Obama and Eric Holder are doing. They are all students, as I point out. And you see, I don't want to give away everything I have in my new book, but these are students, whether they know knowingly or unknowingly, they're students of the neo-Marxist scholar Herbert Marcuse, the entire progressive left, socialist, communist, Marxist, national socialist. They believe, according to Marcuse, in repressive tolerance. What is repressive tolerance? Huh? They say that regressive right-wing forces, if they have their say, frustrate the ambitions of progressive spokesmen, and that this kind of tolerance is to be prevented, and the right-wingers ought to be silenced. And Marcuse wrote this. He said, true liberating tolerance would mean intolerance against movements from the right and toleration of movements from the left. In other words, suppression of dissent against the left is a service to the cause of freedom, according to Obama and Nancy Pelosi. That's what these repressive communists are doing to you. That's what Obama's new Attorney General Eric Holder has already said. He does not believe the Second Amendment gives individuals the right to bear arms. Did you understand this? So we're facing a radical left-wing communist takeover of the United States of America in simple terms. But it's late on a Friday. You don't want to hear it. You'd rather hear about a ball game or a soccer ball, whatever. This is too complicated. What do you care? I understand it's not easy to put your mind around all of this stuff. It really isn't. But I don't think you have to be a genius to understand that there are some governments that are dangerous, and this is one of them. And there are some governments that are criminal, and this is one of them in the minds of millions of Americans. They understand that the TARP money has disappeared. None of it has trickled down to anybody. It's been stolen. They understand the stimulus money has been stolen. They haven't seen it. They understand General Motors was taken over by Obama, and now he's building cars in Mexico. They understand a lot of things about Obama and Eric Holder and Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if we're going to survive this administration. I really don't know if we're going to survive this communist takeover of America. But I'm not going to stop speaking until it becomes impossible to speak. When it becomes impossible to speak and they turn off the radio, then I'll go to the internet. Then when they start to take over the internet and the left applauds and says, that's good. We need some sanity on the internet. That's right. Yay. Yeah, let's have some sanity on the internet. Let's take over the radio and the internet. That's right. Let's have a meet and greet with Kim Jong-il on how to manage freedom of the press in America. Let's take the kidneys out of conservatives and give them to the needy. Let's remove the kidneys from healthy conservatives returning from Afghanistan and give them to needy liberals. Unreal. I never thought I'd live to see this. How a gang took over a country and the people sitting here like schmucks. They don't even understand the magnitude of the thievery. If you actually understood the magnitude of the thievery, I think you'd faint.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I've already given you the best hour. This is the follow-through hour now. No, it's Friday. You don't want to hear about Herbert Marcuse and Pelosi being the least Democratic speaker in history, running it like a... Well, all right. We'll leave it at that. That's all. There's things that I could say I'm not going to say. Mussolini would be about as tolerant of Americans as this administration is. Play a little more music, that's all. We are looking into the White House schedule for the weekend. We do not know what party Obama has planned for himself and his friends. The squirt gun crowd from Harvard. We don't know whether it will be picnic and goat roasting on the White House lawn with the Saudis, a bar mitzvah for Bonnie Frank's intern, or a poker and beer summit with Elena Kagan. It could take place perhaps in Switzerland this weekend with Air Force One taking the president to have fondue with Roman Polanski, or a 4th of July picnic coming up in Beijing to celebrate China's rise on the world stage. What a week this has been. I mean, when you think about the week that you just lived through, do you realize you're living through history? Would you have ever believed that that old hag, Helen Thomas, would finally be found out for what she's been all along and within a day, her career was over? One day. Remember Friday, last Friday, many of you listened to the show religiously. The whole 3 hours. You don't miss a beat. Very unusual. And we played, I'm not saying, the tapes were leaked of her saying the Jews should go back to Poland and Germany. No one could believe it. And we played it on the show over and over and over again. And then by Monday, she was gone. It was past history. We screamed from a rooftop about her. Now, we do not know if she's been hired yet by the Obama administration, but it's possible that Harvard will take her. She's a perfect candidate to run the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, if not actually work in the Obama administration, the education department, writing new curricula for the Obama administration, because they agree with her. I believe Rahm Emanuel is back from Israel. He was seen having a water gun fight last weekend somewhere in America. Then there's the Blagojevich trial we haven't talked about either in Chicago, with hand signals in the courtroom. Have you been following this trial? There's not much of it yet. But the judge had to tell Blagojevich to stop with the mouth gestures and the hand signals. Could you believe the guy sitting there, former governor of Illinois, giving hand signals and mouth movements? And the judge says, stop moving your mouth. I mean, he didn't say anything. He was like signaling, you know what I mean, with hands, like gang signals. And using like signals with hands, with numbers, with their face. And the judge had to tell him to stop making signals with his face. You can't put that on the radio. It's not, you know, it doesn't translate well. Oh, last night I was under the weather. Remember I told you that I was like wheezing. The allergies had turned into something. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm just giving you a little. It's like this show is very much like a journal. It's like it's a part commentary, part journal. Some people sit in cafes writing in journals and no one will read. I did it for 17 years. I don't even know where the journals are. Can you imagine how egotistical a person who writes journals is? I want you to get the idea of the person who's... Do you ever see these creeps in cafes? They sit and write in journals like someday someone's going to go over every word. Oh, my God. On June 11th, 2010, she wrote that in a cafe on Christopher Street? Oh, my God. Yeah, someone's going to sort through your genius writings, sent the earnings. You still haven't gotten your first job, but you're writing in a journal already, you know, remembrances of things past. I did it for years. I don't do it anymore. It's all done here on the radio. So since this is part journal, part commentary, I have to tell you what I had for dinner last night. I swear, I think it's very funny. I'm not looking to entertain you specifically, but I know people are interested in this. If I didn't think you were interested in what I eat for dinner, I wouldn't tell you. But I get email after email, even though I don't receive emails. I have no way for you to... You know, I'm the only guy you can't communicate with in the media. I don't understand people who say, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, email me. I don't get any emails. I don't want to know what you think. Because when I had an open line to you, all I got was about 2,000 emails a day telling me that Jesus saves or hating me or something. I couldn't read it. I had to hire a staff to throw them in the garbage. So I turned down any way to communicate with me. Go communicate with Wallbanger instead so he can put you on a list so he can fleece you for something. How do they sell so many things? Zelig and Wallbanger, every minute they're on a tour saving the world. It's horrible. I don't know how they can do this and get up in the morning. They're saving the money for kids in the military, the children of the people in the military. How is that not investigated by the government? That people in radio claim that they're raising money for the children of the military. They have $9, $10 million in a bank account. They haven't spent it on the kids. And they're waiting for the kids to turn 18, knowing that a good percentage of them will either not be around, not collected, or die. And this is not investigated? I don't know. I'm sorry. One of these guys should be in an orange jumpsuit. Attention, left-wingers. I don't like them doing this to the military. I don't like them using the military to raise money. I don't like Zelig doing it. I don't like Wallbanger doing it. And left-wingers, go after them. Left wingers, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Corruption is corruption. What was I getting at before I got angry? I forgot. Oh, what I had for dinner. So I got off the air last night in San Francisco, and I didn't want dinner. I had the greasy Chinese food for lunch. I figured that the spices would help me. I have like a weird thing, but she cut back already on the seafood in the dish. I saw already she gave me too big a smile on the way out. I knew why. I mean, it's $16 to begin with, the seafood goo. And there was like a half the number of shrimp and half the number of whatever other garbage she puts in there. But I'm attenuated to the restaurant for 20 years. You know, sometimes it's like comfort food, even to eat bad in the restaurant. You never got food poisoning there, you go back. You like the melanin wear, tea in a melanin cup. You know, there's nothing like tea in a melanin cup in the afternoon, so to speak. But she cut back already on the seafood. She's trying to, you know, give people a good screwing. I'm not going to go in there again. I'm sorry. You got to cut it out. Listen, Betty, everyone knows what you're doing. That's it. I'm poisoned after this. I didn't get what I paid $15 for. Four little bay shrimp, the size of the tip of a pinky. That's not a shrimp. A shrimp is a prawn. Anyway, so I didn't get a big enough lunch, but that was okay. I didn't need it. Comes dinner, I'm not hungry. So I walk up to North Beach, the Italian district, and I visit my friend Lorenzo, who owns a North Beach restaurant. He's a friend of mine, and he and I really have a friendship more than it's a restaurant friendship that's evolved into an actual friendship. It's not like he's in my house a lot. I was at his ranch once in Sonoma when he cut the woods down and put in his orchard, his grape, his olives. I remember all of that 16, 17 years ago. Whenever, I don't know how long ago it was, 15 years ago, I drove up in the old Caddy. I mean, this guy's from the old world. He and I have a nice comment. So we sit and talk, and he's all right, give him a vodka on me. I said, I don't want a vodka. I'm drinking Glenfiddich tonight. You, Savage, you're drinking Scotch whiskey? I said, yeah, I don't feel good. Just give me a Glenfiddich. 12-year-old. Sipping the Glenfiddich. Water, no ice. No ice. No ice, man. You're going to get the Glenfiddich. Neat. No ice. Just cold water. And I'm sipping. And we start to talk. So I said, well, I mean, aren't you having dinner? I said, no, I'm not hungry. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to make a soup for you. I'm going to go in the kitchen and make you a garlic soup. Not on the menu. Now, how could a guy not want the owner of a big restaurant to sit down with him and have a bowl of garlic soup? So I said, now remember, no dairy, no cream, no butter. And I pull his leg with that every time. No, I don't put in a butter, no creamer. No dairy, no butter, no creamer. He gets incensed every time I say that. He knows I hate dairy, that I'm allergic. He brings out a bowl. I swear to God, if you had an abscess and you had to put a finger in it to open up like a blister, you could have put your thumb in it and open up an abscess. It was so hot. So I dared reach into my water glass for a cube. He almost went crazy. No, you're going to dilute the soup. I said, yeah, I'm going to dilute it so I can eat it. I have to argue with him. It's like a relative with this guy. He loves me so much. He watches what I eat. He stays over me like a father. He almost picks up the spoon and feeds me, this guy. I said, will you leave me alone? Put the salt down. Stop it. He takes bread. He wants to put it in my soup for me. Stop it. Anyway, I'm kidding. See, he makes me the garlic soup. And that's what I have to dinner. A bowl of garlic soup. And a little Swiss chard with garlic. And there's no big thing to the story. But what I'm saying is, it was wonderful. Did it cure the cold? No. You'd expect the punchline is, and I went home and I was cured. I was a miracle. No, I'm the same in the morning. I'll be right back.
Savage.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you.
Shabup, shabup. We're doing a shabup, shabup song on the Savage Nation. Shabup, shabup. Shabup, love by the sewer plant.
Shabup, shabup.
Shabup, shabup. Afghan suicide bomber, no older than 13. I don't understand a religion like this. How can they brainwash a child into blowing up 40 people, killing them and wounding 80 in the name that he's going to go to some heaven with virgins? These are sick people. This is child abuse. Hasn't anyone said that yet? Ugh. When I was 14, I was looking for a girlfriend, not looking to kill 120 people. Florida, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Just wanted to make a comment about your choice of single malt scotch.
Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned the Glenfiddich 12. I would like to urge you to try the 15-year-old.
See, I knew somebody would try to up me. Well, look, on the desk right now, I have the Glenlivet 18. What do you think of that?
Well, you said Glenfiddich.
Yeah, but I also have Glenlivet 18.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, that's great, too. I've tried that, but the Glenfiddich 15 is...
How about a Glenmorangie 10? Glenmorangie 10. I can't even pronounce these Scots names. Now, I'll tell you my favorite scotch, and I don't drink a lot of it. I'm a vodka and beer guy, but when I'm a little under the weather, scotch always brings me back. My friend imports it, just to be clear. You can't even find it. Glenrothes, have you ever tried it?
I've heard the brand. I may have. I'm not sure.
I'll tell you about this stuff. I don't care what the sore throat is or whatever. If I catch it right off the top with tons of vitamin C, I can always stop it. But this is not a sore throat. Just I'd like to get drunk, in other words.
But I like to sip it, too. No ice, nothing. Just put it in a little glass.
Right. You sip it, and you drink a little water with it on the side. You drink water with it?
Once in a while. Once in a while, yeah.
You do risk your life with the water down there in Florida, huh?
No, well, I pour it through a filter and all that. But
I don't blame you. Hey, where are you in Florida, Tom?
Fort Walton Beach.
It's pretty hot now, huh?
In the panhandle. Yeah, it's over 90, 95 or so. Almost.
See, I have a place in Florida, and I don't go to it. And I should go now because the water temperature in the ocean's 84. But I can't live in air conditioning. I can't go down there. The thought of living in air conditioning balances out the pleasure I would get in swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
All right, what are you going to do? Life is tough, all. 1-800-449-8255. Any other lushes out there want to give me a call on Scotch? Usually on radio, if you bring something up, you're going to get the drunk start now. He wasn't. That guy wasn't. I've never drank during a show but once. Remember once I did it about a month ago? Within the last 10 minutes of the show to see what would happen? I did it. I did it in the last segment of the show. It affects me negatively. You can't form thoughts. You start to sound like President Bush after he's retired. Play the second piece on President Bush that we got today.
The day after I left office, I started writing my book, which will hit the shelves on November the 9th.
Okay, let's stop. Hit the shelves? Hit the shelves. I mean, come on. All right, let's do the next one, 05.
Our building won't be complete until 2013, but the Institute is up and running.
Institute?
We're promoting practical initiatives in four key areas: education reform, global health, economic growth, and human freedom. We have an exciting women's initiative which focuses on empowering women in the Middle East.
Good luck.
In all we do at the Institute, we are guided by a firm belief in the power of freedom to promote peace and prosperity, both at home and abroad. Thanks again for your interest and support. May God bless you.
All right. You know what? I'll take that over Obama. I'll take that over Obama any day. Believe me. It's a little stilted, okay, a little predictable, but at least it's on the right side of things instead of on the communist, socialist, anarchist side of things, which leads to absolute hell and no redemption. What time is it already? Dragging. I didn't have a drink. I feel like I had three drinks. It's 26 minutes. Do I have any good callers? I don't want to take any more Obama callers. I can't have it. I can't do it. Isn't there any exciting news out there? Here's one. Senate panel okays judge who lobbied for serial killer. He was an Obama pick. Excuse me. The panel voted 11-7 to send the nomination to Connecticut District Judge Robert Chactigny for a full Senate vote. This is the creep who lobbied for a serial killer. That kind of man that Obama wants on the court. That's the kind of America Obama envisions. Judges who side with serial killers, not their victims, you see? It's amazing. It's no wonder a man drinks for a scotch after a show like this. It's like an oncologist. I would think that an oncologist, after a day in the surgery, has to come home and have a few drinks. How much cancer can you look at until you know what I'm saying? Did you see the story about the judge? Connecticut judge accused of empathy towards sex offenders gets Senate panel okay. I cannot believe this. Here is a judge who had empathy towards sex offenders and intervened in the high-profile case of a serial killer, picked by Obama. Why? Why would Obama pick him? The judge's conduct, as well as his ruling in 2001 against sex offender registries created under Megan's Law, led to some to question whether he showed a bias in favor of sex offenders. That's what Obama's trying to stick into a court now. I don't see how you leftists can support this. Why would you have a judge who's mentally incompetent or a deviant pervert? Why? Huh? Why would you leftists want a pervert or a mental incompetent on the court? Answer, because you're like him.
Savage.
Heart and soul. I fell in love with you. Heart and soul. The way a fool would do.
This has been one of the most remarkable weeks in the history of the media. I mean, you know, this is epic. When you consider that Helen Thomas has gotten away with what she's gotten away with, for all these years, and that she was found out in one day and gone the next. Remember, it all happened last Friday. By Monday, it was over, and I was the first in the media to call for the revocation of her White House press credentials. I want to go on the record here. It's very important you understand that I've been the victim, myself, of misquotes. She was not misquoted, number one, but I didn't say she should be fired. Bigot though she may be, I never said she should be fired. I said she's not qualified to be a White House press correspondent. She's lost her objectivity, if there ever was such a thing. And I demanded that her White House press credentials be revoked. And I want to play this to get it on the record. Go.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments
on Israel?
Tell them
to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments on that?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied. And it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
The biggest outrage is that the Hitler in a girdle, Hitler's wife in a girdle, Helen Thomas, had the nerve to say that Jews should get the hell out of Palestine and go back to Germany and Poland. This is exactly the same rhetoric that was used during Hitler's era in Germany, and that old piece of crap, that old piece of garbage in a girdle should be thrown out of the White House press corps. In fact, I'm going to stop right here. If she ever appears again and the Jewish reporters don't go up to her and say shame on you, then you will know that they also belong to the Judenrat. You will know that they also belong to the same group of Jew haters who led Jewish children into the gas chambers. You don't know about that phase of Jewish history, do you? You don't know anything, most of you. All you know how to do is Twitter. You don't know that there were Jews who led Jewish children into the gas chambers to stay alive another day. That's the White House press corps. Oh, we hear that there's a Zionist media. So you're telling me that Helen Thomas is a member of the Zionist media who says the Jews should go back to Germany and Poland? I want to remind you of something. The Bible was written by Jews. It's God's word. The Jews were in Palestine 5,000 years ago. They didn't arrive there in 1947. But this is the big lie of the communist left. This is the big lie that you radical leftists have not only bought lock, stock, and barrel, many of you Jewish, by the way, but this is the big lie that you continue to offer because you're all part of the international communist conspiracy. You would rather see the world become Bolshevik, wouldn't you? You wouldn't care if another 6 million Jews died as long as your communist revolution could be realized. Don't tell me I don't know history. I know history, and I see it repeating itself. Now, Helen Thomas was born in Winchester, Kentucky, to Lebanese immigrants from Tripoli, Lebanon. Unto itself, that doesn't explain why she hates Jews, because there are many Lebanese Christians who don't hate Jews, but she's one of those who does. But if Helen Thomas was alone in her ideas, we wouldn't even be playing it because she's a has-been. I have a suspicion, though, that most leftists agree with Helen Thomas. In fact, most Jewish leftists agree with Helen Thomas. And that is why there's going to be World War III, because there's not a nation on earth that's willing to simply disappear because a group of antiquated communists want them to die. They better be very, very careful what they're playing with here. Israel is a nuclear-armed nation. Israel has a right and an obligation to defend its citizenry. And if they're pushed, they will use nuclear weapons. This is not a good scenario for anyone. It will happen, though. And if you think that this old hag is alone or she's senile, you are mistaken. Over and over and over again, it's the same story. Hitler said the same thing. He wanted the Jews to leave Germany and go back to their homeland. And when someone said, where is their homeland? He said, Palestine. Let them go to Palestine. This was before he exterminated the Jews he could get his hands on. So they went to their homeland in Palestine. And now we wake up in the year 2010 and we find out that the left-wing press corps believes what Hitler said is true, only that in reverse, they should go back to their homeland in Germany or Poland. And you Jews who vote Democrat, I would say you should be ashamed of yourself, but I know most of you are like Woody Allen. Most of you have the mind of Larry David or Woody Allen or people of that, let us say, creativity and low capacity for intellect. And you don't even understand what you're saying half the time. You assume that because you made money in your chosen profession that you are intelligent. What you don't understand is you have perhaps a high IQ when it comes to making money, perhaps a high IQ when it comes to creativity, but a very, very moronic IQ when it comes to self-preservation. That was from last week. Just Monday, actually. I thought I'd set the record straight on the Savage Nation. Serious business I'm in. This is a serious business. And for those of you who think I have not been touched by fascism, you are mistaken. I am the only member of the Western media banned from entering Britain. My name is still on the list. Not one liberal has come to my aid. Not one of these so-called First Amendment lawyers has offered to take up the case. And many of you think falsely that I've been the ban has been lifted. It hasn't. And those of you who contributed to the Savage Legal Fund, I am right now on appeal with the new government in England. My attorneys in London, I'm just updating you, are trying with the new administration to get my name off the list of murderers and terrorists. My name was put on the list for one reason only. A group called Media Matters took my sound bites out of context. They were funded by George Soros. They took my sound bites out of context. They sent them to England. And that dunce, Jackie Smith, said that that represented my opinions. And they banned me on Britain from Britain. They put me on the same in the same category as people who actually murdered. People who actually murdered people. They said that my words were the same as murdering people. Now, if you want to live in a country like that, I suggest you go to North Korea or to some other dictatorship. But we don't live in such a country. Anywho, I'm not here to complain to you. Believe me, I'm not complaining. This has been a tough year, but I've been fighting it. And I'm going to fight it till it's over. I'm going to win this battle. And if I don't, I don't. It's their loss. It's their loss. It won't be my loss. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Now, we can now talk about something more positive. The young lady was found. She's been heard from. She got into some rough water. Her ship got knocked over. Her mast, she was demasted. The girl is alone 2,000 miles from shore, and she hasn't cracked. She didn't blow a whistle and scream for the ACLU. She didn't try to sue anybody like Obama would. See the difference here? Here's a young lady tries to go around the world. She gets in trouble. She has the guts to stick it out. And she didn't say she's going to sue the sailboat manufacturer. She's going to sue the manufacturer of the beacon. She was going to sue NOAA because the weather report wasn't accurate. She was going to sue the EPIRB manufacturer. She didn't do any of that because she's not from New York. Her relatives are not lawyers. Her relatives are not the scum of the earth. Her relatives are not class action vermin. She's one of the best American young ladies I've seen in my time. Abby Sunderland is alive. Now, here is some sound you got to hear because they're on the way to get her. I'm sure that by tonight she is going to be seen. Here is her brother, Zach, in clip 11.
The Indian Ocean itself, especially where Abby is just extremely extremely rough, and no one really gets out of it without getting a bit of a rough patch. And Abby got right into a bit of a storm there, and you have to have your boat so prepared for that, like all the systems you need to have on there to make it possible for you to do single hands. But when those systems start breaking, it's a lot more responsibilities on you. In fact, all responsibilities always on you, but you have to do a lot more stuff. You have to stay up for hours and hours and battle the sleep deprivation and the storms. And I think Abby, she's been doing that for the best part of 150 days now out there with dealing with single-handing, and she definitely knows how to tap into that extra bit of whatever it takes to get through. And I think she's doing that now. She's stabilized the situation. She's out of the storm. And now it's just a waiting game right now. She's got to just sit tight and stay calm, and we'll be there in about 20 hours.
That's her brother who circumnavigated the globe himself as a teenager. Do you realize what this takes to do what this young lady has done, what her brother did, what great parents these are? Do you understand what great parents these are, that they raise children of this caliber, of this grit? These are the American children that should be held up as role models. They should be given a ticker tape parade, the two of them. Instead, they're being put down by the nanny men. Ooh, the parents were wrong for letting her go around the world in a sailboat. Ooh, she wasn't ready. She should have stayed home and had sex with a sorority girlfriend. She should have stayed home and experimented with drugs the way the mother did. You know, just don't do anything that I didn't do. Stay home and go to parties. Learn how to put makeup on. Go sit in the back seat of a car like a slut. But don't go sail around the world. No, let the government tell you what to do. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll is okay, but being a hero is not okay. And then turn the pervert into the hero, and turn the hero into a deviant. That's the upside-down world we live in. But I don't live in that world, and neither do you. So I can't wait for this girl to be heard from. Oh, but you hear all the criticism. Listen to her mother, Marianne, now.
The rescue coordinators in Australia spoke with the pilot of the Airbus that flew over her, and they were able to give us a visual assessment. The boat's upright. The rigging is all down, which means she was probably rolled by some rogue wave. She reported that she was fine. She has food, water, and she's running her heater, keeping warm. So she seems to be in good spirits, but that's about all we really know for sure.
Can you believe it? The boat's rolled 2,000 miles from shore, and the girl doesn't crack and scream and blow a whistle and say, "Daddy Sue, come get me." And some people are saying she shouldn't have gone. You hear this? The society we're living in is amazing to me. But, you know, this doesn't impact most listeners because you're not boaters and you don't understand what it is to be out there alone like that. I don't. I've never done that. But I can anticipate what it would be like because of the little kind of boating I do, the little bit of boating I've done for 35 years. I mean, all I do is drive a 40-ton powerboat basically on the bay, which was a big challenge for a boy from the Bronx, all self-taught. And I can handle, twin engines. I can take it in, take it out. I can handle a wave. I know how to, use the stabilizers. But the fact of the matter is, being out in the middle of the Indian Ocean, 2,000 miles from land and getting rolled by a rogue wave and not panicking is a magnitude that a Navy SEAL would understand. This young lady is what America used to be about. This is true grit. This girl is John Wayne. This girl is Audie Murphy. This girl is everything that is great about America, and the left wing hates her. Don't you understand? She's not a victim, and so they despise her. And to top it all off, the parents are still married, and the parents are white, and the parents are together, and it's a nuclear family that makes the rest of them look like what they are. Don't you understand why the left is attacking her or ignoring her? Because the Lilliputians in the media, the Lilliputians on the left, are embarrassed when they compare themselves and their children to this child. I'll be back.
Savage.
We're absolutely over the moon. We're very, very happy, and we're very excited that the Australian Search and Rescue jumped on this right away and got a plane out to her.
That's the father of Abby Sunderland, who has been found alive. Her sailboat was rolled by a rogue wave. She was demasted, and she's not panicked. And she, help is on the way. So you should read some of the comments. The libs are screaming that the parents were bad parents. And someone writes this. They say, her parents have taught her to be a go-getter. She will go on to set goals in her life and reach every one of them. Then the guy says, have any of you ever set a goal and reached it? Going to the mall with your dogs doesn't count. Neither does getting knocked up by some guy who doesn't have a job and proudly carries the title baby's daddy. Many of you should learn to sail, but learn to swim first. It's unbelievable to me. Of course there are risks in the world. Of course there are risks in the world. A kid could get killed in a car ride. Why are they so negative? Why are they so afraid of a child taking a risk? It's not a boring story. Is this a boring story to you? I think she's an American hero. I think she should be given a ticker tape parade. I think she should be given the Presidential Medal of Freedom, but those are only reserved for single moms who were knocked up by a crack dealer. They're invited to the White House. I mean, this girl should be brought into the White House and be given the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She's a role model for young ladies. She's America. She's the new Miss America. And the reason that the libs are so infuriated is because this is the real stuff. This is the real McCoy here. And they know they can't even hold a candle to her boat shoe. Sea of criticism for adrift young sailors' parents. By whom? Either people who don't have children, number one, or jealous people, number two. Why would you be critical of the parents? The brother did it already. The girl's boat was rolled by a rogue wave. Her mast was broken, which destroyed satellite phone reception. And the boat's then dragging the mast in the ocean with the sail. And she still didn't go down. And she didn't panic screaming, "Oh my God, please, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." She didn't do any of that. If she had said, "Oh my God," 15 times, she'd already be on The View. They already invited the Good Morning America to go, oh my God, and talk about her victimhood. If her father lived on the Upper East Side of Manhattan and worked for the Obama administration, he already called up his brother-in-law, Minnie Wasserman, his sister-in-law, Minnie Wasserman, a distant fifth cousin relative of Elena Kagan. They would sue the sail manufacturer, the mast manufacturer, the electronics manufacturer, the keel manufacturer, the dry food manufacturer, the satellite navigation manufacturer. That's what they would have done already. They would have sued. They would have followed the president's lead with the Gulf oil spill. She's a hero. This is beautiful. WOR in New York. Frank, agree or disagree? Hero or a victim?
A hero. She's a hero to me. I'm 64. I have three daughters. And I'll tell you what, if my daughters ever wanted to do and capable of doing anything like that, they would have been allowed to.
And that's right.
I mean, I cannot praise this girl enough.
That's right. And she has great parents. They're together. They're married. I mean, this is unto itself an insult to the America that we know. Yep. Married white parents with another child on the way who raised a tough child like this with guts. The opposite of everything you see in the media.
Yeah, and God bless you, Mike. I listen to you all the time, and I pray to God that you stay on the air.
I know. It's not easy. It's not easy, but okay, we'll keep going. That's all. It's like sailing in a rough sea every day. Some days are better than others, that's all. Today's a good day. I wish we had 10,000 young ladies like this. They could save America. You know, in many ways, the Republican women who just won the election, the reason that the Tina Browns of the world hate them is because they're jealous of them. Did you hear that soundbite earlier? There's this woman named Tina Brown who I've never heard of. Apparently, she's very important in her own mind and in New York circles. She says the wins by GOP women is a blow to feminism. I swear to God. Listen to clip six.
Women are usually seen as, you know, an alternative because many more men are in there. But actually, the only trouble with this one is it almost feels as if all these women winning are kind of a blow to feminism because each one of them, really, most of them, are, you know, very much, you know, against so many of the things that women have fought
for. Get that
hag
off the show. She sounds like Helen Thomas's sister-in-law. Notice what this hag, Tina Brown, just said. It feels like most of the women who just won the elections are not pushing the feminist goals. It feels like it isn't because they're too much like men. In other words, Barbara Box is very feminine to her. Barbara Mikulski is her ideal of a feminine role model. Barbara Mikulski and Barbara Box. Dianne Feinstein is her idea of someone pushing feminism. You hear this? If you ever took at the amount of money that Dianne Feinstein and Richard Blum, her husband, were worth before she was a senator, and what they're worth now, you can only come to one conclusion. You hear what I just said? You know, there should be a measure of what a person is worth, they and their family, prior to entering public office and when they leave public office. And it should be measured each year. You take a look at Dianne Feinstein and Richard Blum's fortunes when she became a senator, the committee she sat on, and what they're collectively worth now. And you're telling me that's one of the goals of feminism? Is to be a gold digger who capitalizes on a public position? I can't believe what I'm listening to. Tina Brown and the wins by GOP women is a blow to feminism? Because it feels that way. It feels that way. Meg Whitman built her fortune on her own. She didn't just run a magazine and lose money for it. Meg Whitman didn't run a magazine and lose money and then call herself a genius. Meg Whitman built a company, became a billionaire. I guess that feels too much like a man to Tina Brown, who's run one company off the rails after another and now considers herself some icon of feminism. You hear? With a mock British accent to top it all off. It feels like they're like a blow to feminism. It feels like this. It feels like that.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Thank you.
rescue coordinators in Australia spoke with the pilot of the Airbus that flew over her, and they were able to give us a visual assessment. The boat's upright, the rigging is all down, which means she was probably rolled by some rogue wave.
Questions for the Savage Nation today were these. The 16-year-old world sailor Abby Sunderland has been found alive after trying to circumnavigate the world. Thank God. I think she should try again. Do you? If you were her parent, what would you say to her once she came home? Do you think the nanny state government authorities who encourage teen sex will try to stop her from sailing again? Will CPS, Child Protective Services, try and take her away from her parents because she's not into drugs, sex, and rock and roll? Should Catholic priests be allowed to marry? Women, how do you feel about the victory of conservative women in Republican primaries this week? Why do you think the Democrats have been saying that the victory of Republican women in the primaries is a bad thing? What party will party boy Obama throw at the White House next? Because he's had nothing but parties since he's been put in there. Possible upcoming celebrations for the party boy president might be a picnic and goat roasting on the White House lawn with the Saudi ambassador, or a luau in Honolulu with the Hawaiian State Secretary of Vital Records, or perhaps they'll have a bar mitzvah for Bonnie Frank's intern, or they might have a poker and beer summit with Elena Kagan, or perhaps they could invite Roman Polanski to have fondue on the lawn. How about a baklava bash with the Iranian ambassador? Or what could be more fitting than a 4th of July picnic in Beijing? This week we talked about Obama's dangerous inexperience, but we really didn't touch on something that's naked and apparent. You have the biggest environmental disaster in history. Where is FEMA? Where is the Federal Emergency Management Agency? Has anyone heard from the manager of FEMA? The answer is no. And where is the Department of Homeland Security? You remember what Big Sis Napolitano said a few months ago? That terrorism is not the department's number one priority, but that an environmental disaster would be her number one priority? Where is she? Bowling somewhere with Janet Reno? Nobody knows where she is. What the hell is going on with this administration under Obama? Obama failed in this case from top to bottom. He failed to show up in the Gulf until 12 days after the rig blew up. He was nowhere in the early days of the spill. The federal government took no action in the first God knows how many days. Obama's federal agencies were slow to use dispersant chemicals to break up the oil. Obama failed to mobilize enough boats to deploy booms and containment devices and left it up to local officials. Obama failed by insisting this was BP's problem. The spill happened in U.S. waters. Obama could have used the military to help. He did not. Obama rejected the offers of Japan, France, China, and Russia, even though these nations have deep-sea submarines and robots that can work a mile under the ocean. Obama failed to erect barrier berms. If Obama had done half of these things, he might have prevented the worst environmental disaster in history. Even John McShane, with all his hemming and hawing, would have gotten angry and demanded immediate action from his subordinates. But because Obama knows how to run a campaign but not a government, this disaster has been the result. I got to tell you, this is a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Did you hear the song that the dictator Hugo Chavez sang for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton?
Soy mal querido por Hillary Clinton. Yo tampoco la quiero. La ra 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 ra. La ra 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 ra. Ra 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 ra.
I think Hillary could do a duet with him.
Si se puede, si se puede, Si se puede. Si se puede. Not only si se puede. Si. Si lo haremos. We will.
Of course, while the media proclaimed that 1992 was the year of the woman, when Republican women win, as they did this week, you don't get the same reaction out of them. Here's a talking head from ABC spewing her hatred.
Women are usually seen as, you know, an alternative because many more men are in there. But actually, the only trouble with this one is it almost feels as if all these women winning are kind of a blow to feminism because each one of them, really, most of them, are, you know, very much, you know, against so many of the things that women have fought for such a long time.
Meanwhile, Obama took a break from his party boy lifestyle to promote alternative energy.
Our immediate task is to deal with a crisis that is affecting millions of people down in the Gulf. We can't keep our eye off the importance of having an energy policy that meets the needs of the next generation.
The brave 16-year-old sailor, Abby Sunderland, has been found alive and safe. She survived because she has sane parents. Here's her mother, Marianne.
We know the risks that are involved, and, you know, with technology, the choice of boat, having a meteorologist following her trip and guiding her, routing her, you minimize as many risks as you can. And, you know there's always a possibility of some kind of accident like Abby had yesterday. But again, her boat is designed to remain afloat with watertight bulkheads. She has all the safety equipment on board if she had to abandon ship. So although you hate to think of them using it, you know that it's there, and you know that they know how to use it, and they can be rescued.
And here's the strange case of the missing boy in Oregon, Chiron Harmon. And here's his emotional stepfather, Tony Young.
Hello, my name is Tony Young, and I'm Chiron's stepfather. The family's asked me to speak on their behalf today. I would just like to say, Chiron, we miss you. We love you, and we need you home right now. We're doing everything we can to work with law enforcement and the search and the rescue crews to make sure that you can get back to us as soon as possible. We want to say how much we appreciate the outpouring of love and support, prayer and thoughts as we wait for you.
What's with all the crying? Do you think that a father crying over a lost son is the appropriate reaction? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now for our Eye on Hollywood is James Herson.
Rosie O'Donnell is getting ready to return to daytime television. Look out.
No, you can't be serious.
Yeah, she wants to have a new talk show in the fall of 2011. And these producers, high-power Hollywood producers, are timing the show to start just when the Oprah Winfrey Show is scheduled to end. Now, she's being hailed as the new Oprah. She wants to come into our living rooms, spout her ideas to our loved ones. And Rosie's not relatively harmless like Ellen DeGeneres. She's not simplistic like Dr. Phil or moralistic like Judge Judy. No, Rosie, the new Oprah, may have trouble with something that middle America finds offensive. It's her mouth. Now, recently, another person with a mouth problem, Helen Thomas, ended her long career as a White House correspondent with some shocking recommendations for bringing peace to the Mideast. Thomas told Jews they should, quote, get the hell out of Palestine and go back to Germany and Poland.
Play the clip.
I'm going to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
Unbelievable.
Although the mainstream media soft-pedaled the coverage of Thomas's bigotry, the shamed reporter, now has a defender in the form of Rosie O'Donnell. Now, the folks at Sirius were crazy enough to give Rosie a talk radio show. And she spent a part of her radio broadcast gabbing about Thomas. So she reads Thomas's full quote, and a guest asks, "How can that be hate speech?" And Rosie replies that she doesn't know. O'Donnell then voiced agreement with Thomas that Jews should leave Israel and move to Germany and Poland, and her reason is that now, get this, the ovens aren't there anymore.
Oh, my God.
Then the former TV host, and presumably the next Oprah, tried to distinguish Thomas's statements, her comments about leaving Israel, from those of white supremacists telling black people to go back to Africa. Because, as Rosie explained, black people are not occupying a country, right? Now, the next Oprah also recently gushed about the merits of America going communist and the government grabbing a private company's assets. Again, on this same radio show, Rosie accused the oil company BP of willful homicide, willful mass murder. I mean, she's not exactly the master of understatement. "I say seize their assets," she said, "right now. Seize their assets today. Take over the company. I don't care how. Issue an executive order. Call it socialism. Call it communism. Call it anything you want."
That's crazy. Sorry, crazy.
And then she attacked American citizens for, quote, our gas guzzler cars. She chastised us for not having solar power on our windows. She said our oil consumption had, quote, screwed with Mother Earth. "We broke the freaking womb of Mother Earth," she said. "We split it open and she's hemorrhaging." This is just lovely daytime chit-chat from the new Oprah. Then one of O'Donnell's producers came up with a recommendation for U.S. energy policy I'm sure you'll love. She said that we ought to pay $20 a gallon for gas rather than, quote, kill thousands of innocent people, close quote. Now, it's Ed McMahon's fault that we have to deal with Rosie O'Donnell. She got her first big break on that predecessor to American Idol called Star Search. Rosie was only 20 years old at the time, and, you know, she did stand-up comedy back then. And she was actually funny, if you can believe that.
You can't be serious.
She won on the show for several weeks and had what young comics dream about, national exposure. Today, it's hard to believe that Rosie is someone who used to be known as the Queen of Nice. Yes, she earned that nickname from her daytime talk show, which was called The Rosie O'Donnell Show. And she started hosting that show in the 90s, in 1996. And you can remember on that show in 1999, she ambushed Tom Selleck. He had come on the show to promote a movie, but O'Donnell spent the entire interview cross-examining and beating up Tom Selleck verbally about guns and the NRA, as he said, "Hey, that's not why I'm here." The next Oprah must be giving the executives who back her nightmares. When they look at her track record, they have to come to one conclusion. She's a quitter. In 2000, she joined with the publishers of McCall's to change the magazine to Rosie Magazine. The publication was launched as a competitor to fellow talk show hostess Oprah Winfrey's monthly magazine. Conflict started to be leaked out to the press between O'Donnell and her editors, and she quit in 2002. She said she had a dispute over control. The magazine folded in 2003, and in 2002, she also walked away from an ongoing successful television talk show. In 2006, Rosie became co-host on The View. She was a polarizing figure. I mean, ratings went up, but she made unbelievably dim statements.
Well, like what?
She said radical Christianity is just as threatening as radical Islam. She joked about Catholic Holy Communion while sitting next to Joy Behar, who was belittling the Catholic priesthood. She also compared the Republican Party handling of the Mark Foley affair with activities by the Catholic Church's officials. O'Donnell falsely stated that the current pope was the person in charge of investigating the allegations in the Catholic Church from the 1980s until just recently, which was factually wrong. Rosie also decided to join up with the 9/11 truthers, you know, like former Obama czar Van Jones.
Mm-hmm.
On The View, she said, concerning the damage on September 11th, quote, "I do believe it's the first time in history that fire has ever melted steel." She claimed explosives had to have been involved. Well, you know, from all of these statements, O'Donnell was aptly named the most annoying celebrity in 2007 by a Parade magazine readers poll. Most annoying. The next Oprah? Really? More like the next Rod Blagojevich. You know, thankfully, no one is going to claim to be the next Michael Savage. Back to you, my friend.
Thanks for the report, James.
Savage.
The economy is just awful. The left blames Bush and thinks the only way out is more money, more money, more money. Well, now we're starting to hear that another stimulus package may be in the works. This time, of course, to avoid a double-dip recession. No, it's for them to double-dip. Joining us now is Cato senior fellow Alan Reynolds, who in a recent article says the economy may not be as bad as what the left is saying. Alan Reynolds, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, what's your point about the economy?
Well, everybody got kind of obsessed about this single number, and the number was that private jobs increased by only 41,000 last month, after increasing more than that the month before. They said, oh, my gosh, this means we're going into a slump. Well, look, up is up, not down, and those numbers are pretty flaky from month to month. They gyrate all over the place, and if you average it out, which is what I suggest doing, basically we've added about 100,000 jobs a month. If it drops to 41,000 in 1 month, that could be an error. I mean, this is, after all, an estimate based on a survey. Then the idea that a double-dip recession could just suddenly fall upon you from nowhere, no particular reason, is quite bizarre, because we've only had one since 1933, and that was in 1980. And we should all remember what happened that time. It was in 1980, the Fed chairman, who Jimmy Carter had appointed, found himself in a recession early in the year, responded as the Fed usually does, dropped the Fed funds rate a lot, the interest rate the Fed sets. They dropped it from 17.5% to 9% by July. And that did sort of perk the economy up a bit, so you had the middle of the W, if you will. But it also brought inflation back, so the Fed started raising interest rates again. And by the time Reagan took office in January 81, I was there, I was in the transition, we were facing a federal funds rate of 19%. So it's no surprise why that put us back in recession in a couple of months, and that was the double dip. So unless people are expecting the Fed to put the interest rate to 19% again, they need a better explanation than one month of weak job growth. That's just been enough reason to go into panic mode.
Where are they getting these numbers?
By some measures, there's a couple of measures of employment. One is a survey of households, and that's up 1.6 million this year. That's actually not very much, but it isn't bad, and it certainly isn't down. And the other one, as I said, shows private jobs up by about 100,000 a month, the other half being government jobs. And then there's a lot of numbers that are used to exaggerate what is disappointing and turn it into something much worse. One of them is to say that there are nearly six job applicants for every job opportunity, for every available job. And that comes from a statistic from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, but it's misused. That statistic really doesn't measure every available job. It measures only advertised jobs within that are outside of the firm. Of course, a lot of jobs are filled inside the firm. Recalled workers aren't counted. But most important, most jobs aren't advertised. They're either gotten by word of mouth, networking, or they're gotten by knocking on the door, by saying, hey, I could use a job. Could you use me and put me to work? And in a tight labor market, a loose market, is when it's difficult to get a job, more and more jobs are filled that way. Nobody bothers, has to advertise. So it's really not appropriate to make that comparison and say there's six job openings. There's one unemployed for there's six unemployed for every one job opening. That's just not true. And the other one is this number that everybody keeps saying, that the real unemployment is not at 10%, it's 9.7%. It's closer to 17 or 16.6 to be exact. That's called the U6 measure of unemployment, but it includes all kinds of things that just aren't unemployment.
Well, like what?
One is that if you normally work a 35-hour week and the guy surveys you and you only work 34, 33, 32 hours, you'll be classified as involuntary part-time for economic reasons. But as a matter of fact, it's not involuntary in the sense you don't want another job. You're not on a part-time job wanting a full-time job. We know that because only a fourth of the people surveyed say they can't find a full-time job. They have a job in which the hours are variable, like construction, a lot of other jobs like that. And they had a bad week or a bad month even. But the worst of it is a group that the BLS calls marginally attached. Now, marginally attached workers aren't discouraged workers. Discouraged workers add about a half point to the unemployment rate. And they are people, they're not discouraged from having looked for work and not found it. They're discouraged in the sense that they don't think they could find a job. They think they're too young. They think they're too old. They think they don't have the right qualifications, so they don't look. But this other group that's added to get to the U6, the broadest measure, that group is this marginally attached group. Don't even pretend to be looking for work. They are not looking for work. They're not looking for work, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics explains, unquote, for such reasons as school or family responsibilities, ill health, and transportation problems. Well, if you're not looking for work, you're not unemployed, and you're not even underemployed. You're just in a situation where you can't work. And to add that to the unemployment rate is really unfair to the unemployed. They really are unemployed. They're looking for work. These guys aren't, guys and gals. So there's just an awful lot of exaggeration going on of how bad things are.
Who's calculating them?
It's done by both sides because, naturally, the conservative Republicans don't want to give Obama credit for recovery, even if it's a lousy recovery. But economies always recover, and I don't think you have to give him credit. I would happen to agree with that. He didn't do anything particularly useful. And then the people like Robert Reich say, gee, this means we need even more, quote-unquote, stimulus spending. And Reich specifically says he'd like to expand the earned income tax credit to cover everybody up to the middle class, which would be just horrifically expensive. It means you'd get a check instead of paying taxes unless you were above the middle, and no way we could afford that. And he wants to, of course, expand unemployment benefits longer and longer. The idea that you can stimulate an economy by handing out unemployment benefits for years and years and years is really pretty bizarre. If the economy was doing well, they wouldn't need the unemployment benefits. And if you pay them for 2-3 years, people have a tendency to not look hard enough or to not accept jobs or to not relocate as they may need to because times are tough.
Well, how much of a problem is extending unemployment benefits?
Well, and they're in the wrong places in many cases. You know, we have extended unemployment benefits in more than 30 states, and yet we have very low unemployment in about 14 states. By very low, I mean as low as 3.8%. That's one of the Dakotas, and ranging up to 7.1, 7.2, 7.3. That's places like where I am, Virginia, Utah. But if you're in California and you're collecting long-term unemployment benefits, roughly $25,000 a year, maybe more, and if there's two of you, it's more than that, and you decide, well, there's just no jobs here, I'm going to have to move to Utah, Well, of course, you get cut off. You lose your check. So instead of that, they ride the checks out and fail to relocate. And that's kind of sad because it's not good for anybody to have 2 years of missing work on your resume.
Are there any signs that things are going to get better?
Well, look, in order to improve employment, you basically have to make it more profitable to hire people. And that means you keep the cost of employment down, and that helps. And one way you can keep it down is to not tax employers and employees too heavily. But in some cases, it's been this horrific increase in costs at local level. For example, cost of living is very high in California. If they move to, there are places where people would be surprised how low the unemployment rate, I think, of one, New Orleans. Louisiana in general has a very low unemployment rate in the sixes and, 6-7%. Cost of living is lower there, but the cost of hiring somebody is lower there, too. There's not everything can be done by government, much less the central government. And sometimes when the central government tries to help, like subsidizing people to stay in places with high unemployment, stay in Michigan, don't go to South Dakota, don't go to Iowa, don't go to some place that has low unemployment, stay here in Michigan, we'll keep sending you a check. That actually isn't helpful.
Alan Reynolds, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
I really enjoyed being with you today and hope we can talk again soon.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Stories on MichaelSavage.com. The new Arizona law may be driving out illegal aliens from the state. If one Phoenix school district is any gauge, Hispanics in Arizona appear to be leaving the state in anticipation of the tough on illegal immigration law. Teen sailor found alive. Abby Sunderland, age 16, told search and rescuers around 11 p.m. last night that she was unharmed and had righted her boat, but had lost sailing capacity. What a hero. This girl should be invited to the White House, not another single mom with a barbecue recipe. Governor Brown says Meg Whitman is like Hitler's propaganda minister. He said he wasn't going to engage in mudslinging, but hey, he's another Democrat, isn't he? NAACP slams racist Hallmark card. Why is it racist? Because they refer to black holes. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up. It's on my website. Take a look at the morons who are running things in this world. Take a look at the face of the idiot. NAACP slams racist Hallmark card. The card's theme is the solar system and emphasizes the power of the grid to take over the universe, even energy-absorbing black holes, and they call it racist. You want to talk politics? Talk politics. You want to talk about the oil spill, that if it was a Republican, you'd hear the screams going to the White House, phony, you did it. You had relationships with BP. You weren't there. You were absent. The Interior Secretary was rafting. Phony, phony. But you won't hear it because, it's Obama the loved. Today we had a letter from Vicky Behenna of, you well know about Michael Behenna, locked up for something he didn't do. The government won't let him go. His mother wrote me. And she said, "Dear Dr. Savage, it's been some time since I last updated you on Michael Behenna's case. As you know, we're still waiting for the Army to file its response brief. We continue to pray that they will not ask for another extension, and they will file their brief on or before July 20th, 2010. In the meantime, I read an article in the New York Times about a military policy to reintegrate Taliban fighters. I can't tell you how saddened I was to learn of this policy. We have been fighting for over a year for Michael to be given his constitutional right to a fair trial. And yet, on a pledge that an enemy combatant such as a Taliban fighter will not fight for the Taliban again, these terrorists are released to rejoin their families while my son rots in Fort Leavenworth. I have attached an email that we will be sending out on Monday to Michael's supporters asking for the public's help and asking the military to give the same mercy to our soldiers and Marines who have been charged and convicted like Michael for combat-related killings. I wanted you to have a copy of the email because it has links to the New York Times article and an editorial about this double standard written by Diana West. Dr. Savage, thank you again for everything you have done to help us defend Michael Behena and keep his story alive until the day the Army decides to release him. God bless Vicky Behena. Heartbreaking. Unbelievable. I don't know how the people take it. Another polar rescue must send chills down spines of alarmists. What is that about? There's a man named Tom Smitheringale who wanted to prove that the world was warming from global warming. And they say now he's another alarmist with frostbite. You see, the 40-year-old from Perth, Australia, planned to be the first Australian to trek unassisted to the North Pole. And he said along the way he'd raise some consciousness about the melting polar ice caps. And he said part of the reason is Tom's one-man epic is taking place is because of the effect that global warming is having on the polar ice caps. He said he wanted to see the North Pole while it was still there. He wrote, some scientists have even estimated that the polar ice cap will have entirely melted away by 2014. But guess what? Antarctica isn't melting away. And Arctic ice has slowly increased since its big low in 1997. But nobody told Tom, who soon found his extremities freezing. 2 weeks ago, the global warming alarmist nearly called off his trek after suffering excruciating pain in his fingers and thumbs, forcing him to call in emergency help. And last week, the global warming alarmist had to be rescued by Canadian soldiers after falling through the ice sheet. He said, I came very close to the grave, he said, on being flown out by the evil Canadian Air Force. Now, this is actually the fourth year running that global warming alarmists have had to be rescued from expeditions to prove that the Arctic is warmer than it actually is. See, that's a metaphor. Last year, it was British eco-explorer Penn Haydow and his two-person stunt team who had to be flown out mid-stunt after battling brutal sub-zero weather conditions that gave the team's photographer of global warming frostbite. And the year before that, eco-adventurer Lewis Gordon Pugh was similarly thwarted in his attempts. You see, that moron planned the kayak 1,200 kilometers to the North Pole to raise awareness of how global warming had allegedly melted the ice sheet so badly that scientists warned the North Pole that summer could be ice-free. Well, no such luck. Pugh had to pull out 1,000 kilometers from the finish when a great, great barrier of sea ice blocked his route. The year before gave us even more farcical entertainment that has apparently not yet reached the White House. Explorers and educators, so-called Anne Bancroft and Liv Arneson, said they were off on what reporters describe as a, quote, historic 75-day expedition to the North Pole and beyond, to raise awareness of global warming's impact on the fragile Arctic. Well, it turned out that what was fragile was not the Arctic, but the global warming alarmists, who had to call off their big trip not long after it started. Why? Well, Arneson suffered frostbite in three of her toes, and extreme cold drained their batteries. Explained the spokesmouth, they were experiencing temperatures that weren't expected with global warming. So, the fact is that when Arctic rescuers have to save more people from global warming stunts than from global warming itself, it is time to again heed the words of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. So if alarmists settle down, they might just live longer and keep their toes. And, of course, the rest of us might not have to put up with the expense and lies being put out by the White House, and most particularly with Al Gorleone, the head of the Gorleone Global Warming Crime Syndicate, in my opinion. Nancy Pelosi guarantees that the Democrats will keep the House majority. Really? She said that Democrats would hold on to the House after the midterm election. She said, you can take it to the bank. I guess she knows something no one else in the country knows. Teachers are tampering with test scores in New York City because the reward for high test scores is a bonus of $2,850. Isn't it great? Isn't diversity grand? Latest poll out of Nevada, angle 50%, read 39%. Hitler of Iran, Ahmadinejad, said that the sanctions against the nuclear bomb just annoying flies. Hitler ado. New study claims devout Muslim youth more violence prone. The more devout a young Muslim male in Germany is, the more likely the Muslim is to resort to violence, according to a federally financed study. No, build more mosques. Go ahead. Let them get their brains washed. Democrats are eyeing a stimulus bill to pay teachers. Democrats are suffering from Messiah fatigue. General Motors and Ford are building cars in Mexico with $26 a day workers. And remember Helen Thomas? Remember her? Helen Thomas? Oh, yeah. Hezbollah salutes her. Respected American journalist Helen Thomas's answer shows a courageous, bold, honest, and free opinion. That's Hezbollah. Helen never had better friends. Prince Charles, man who never worked a day in his life, says follow the Islamic way to save the world. And Iran steps up clothing curbs, citing Islamic values. The measures follow introduction of a code of conduct at Shiraz University in Iran that bans loud laughter, nail polish, high heels, and immodest clothing. Not a word from an American feminist group. They're busy bashing, well, we don't know what. That's it from MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.